So 2018, I attended my local GP surgery just for bloods, nothing to do with a smear, or I had no symptoms. And the nurse at the time suggested, let's do a smear test while you're here. I went away, went back to work, and didn't think twice about the test. Got a phone call then 2 days later to come into the surgery that abnormalities were found. Now, I didn't really know that much about abnormalities and sins and stages. So when I got the call, of course, it was a big worry. We went straight to the GPs and they advised that it was sin 3. So obviously I had used Google to look this up and I knew that that was the sin that I didn't want to have. So they transferred me over to the Coombe Cervical Unit where I had less treatment done and they carried out a biopsy the next day. So there was then a wait of about 7 days in between that. And then I got a phone call to say that it had been confirmed that it was cervical cancer. I didn't know the stage. I didn't know what was ahead of me. I had no idea. I had a 9-day wait until I met my consultant in the Coombe then.
Right.
So as you can imagine, it was a long 9 days.
It was a long 9 days indeed.
A long 9 days. And I'd say I probably slept 9 hours within those 9 days. It just, in my head, I couldn't understand what was happening. So I went in and I met with my consultant, Tom Darcy, in the Coombe on March 14th. And he was absolutely fantastic. And he confirmed I had stage 1A1 cervical cancer. But I was also positive for lymphovascular invasion. So what that meant is it was in my blood vessels. So they didn't know where else it was. Obviously, young, 32 at the time, 2 young kids, all of this just seemed very overwhelming. So they decided to send me to James's Hospital and they carried out all the relevant PET scans to ensure as much as possible that it hadn't spread.
Yeah.
Now, luckily and thank God, it was contained to the cervix, which was fantastic news. And following on from that, the Coombe decided that they were going to operate a week later. So brought into the Coombe and they operated and they removed 2 tumours and they removed a portion of my lymph nodes around my pelvic region. So the recovery then was quite tough. It was quite physically painful. Again, all of this happened within 4 weeks, so my head wasn't really around it at the time. And then I went back to work and plodded on as if nothing really had ever happened. Then following on, maybe 3 months later, I went into remission in May. About September, I started to feel unwell again. And I suppose as any cervical or any cancer survivor will tell you, the second you feel unwell, you think it's that.
It's back, yeah.
Even though I had no symptoms with it, I thought it was that. So there was a lot of weight loss. I was starting to lose my vision. My heart was palpitating all of the time. Again, I linked this to anxiety with that, what I had just gone through. And eventually they ran a number of tests and found out that I had what was called Graves' disease. So not an ideal name, but a scary name all the same. So what this is it's an autoimmune disease. So my immune system is attacking my body instead of keeping me well.
Keeping you safe, yeah.
To be honest, the Graves' disease has been physically much tougher than the cancer. And I have gone through, so I had a procedure in March of this year. I had 10 rounds of radiation in May in St. Luke's Hospital. And I've had 2 eye procedures, 1 in June and 1 on the 1st of August this year. And now I have a following procedure in about 6 weeks. They're going to remove my thyroid. So there's been a number of health issues following on from it.
My gosh, God, you've been through the wars, Jenny. But the thing is, we're looking positive at it. At least they're treating things that as they arrive, and hopefully there's the positive, hugely positive outcome that you won't have any more of these things and you'll just get back to normal as such. But only for that nurse in the hospital or the GP's office, this wouldn't have been caught, would it?
Would never have been caught. And as I said, I had gone to this nurse for something completely different. And she just, out off a whim, will we do a smear while you're here? And I went away and never thought about it. And then my consultant said himself, because the cancer was in my blood vessels, that a few months' time would have made a massive difference to me. Yeah. So I'm pulling the positive from that side of it, that I'm very, very lucky and blessed that I went when I did, and this was all done.
And you were 32, right?
32,
so
yeah.
You were one of the last generations, really, not to get the vaccine.
The vaccine, exactly. And during all of this time, when I had my surgery, the first weekend of April, around that time, the cervical scandal as such was released. So that kind of mentally took its toll as well. I found it, you know, I stopped watching TV, I stopped listening to the radio. I couldn't get my head around the whole thing. Not that there's ever a right time, but that made it that much harder.
Yeah. Gosh, so you have to just fight this imminent battle, and then hopefully the Graves' disease will be under control in some way.
Well, the Graves' disease is a long-standing disease, and there's no quick fix. So the hospitals have been fantastic. I have a consultant in, I think, four hospitals at the moment, and they're all working together to get there. And, you know, the vision was, I was scared because, of course, I didn't want to lose my vision. And they have managed, the three things they've done, along with the radiation, has helped, and things are looking positive now. But it's taken its toll, and it's, you know, I've two young kids, and I'm trying to care for them and trying to keep normality as much as I can. But, you know, I'm back in the coom every 5 months for 10 years, and it seems like a lifetime when you're young, but it's a small price to pay.
Absolutely.
In comparison to some people.
Yeah, just to keep an eye on everything, and techniques and treatments improve, and, you know, there could be new breakthroughs and whatever, and make it much easier. What age are the children, Jenna?
So when I was diagnosed, 2 and 6.
Right.
So, yeah, so very young. The two-year-old, you know, didn't pick up on anything, but the six-year-old certainly did. And I hid a lot from her in respect to, you know, after my surgery, I stayed in my parents' house until I could walk properly around. But, yeah, she definitely picked up on, and she would ask me, you know, "Mom, why are you sad?" or "Is everything okay?" And as I said, Declan, it all happened so fast that you're mentally trying to keep up with what's physically happening to you, which is really why, you know, establishments like Purple House in Bray, they help in that matter a lot. They really, really helped me get through a tough time.
Yeah. And the two-year-old, what gender is the two-year-old?
They're both girls.
They're both girls, and they will be having the vaccine, presumably.
100% will be having the vaccine, yes.
Yeah. And they won't have to go through any of this sort of thing. God, for something as small, and you just think of a virus. You never think of viruses with cancer and things. But this HPV, and there's so many different variations of it, but this, it's an absolute dreadful thing, isn't it?
It is, and the funny thing is, I never heard of the HPV vaccine or HPV virus before any of this. And then they were telling me I had. You know, you have 16, you have 18. I think I had 4 different strains, and I had no idea what this was.
There are ones that are irritating, like they give you a spot on your chest or somewhere, or your leg or something like that, and they just remove them with these sort of nitrogen things and all that. But you can deal with those things. It's the other strains of it that give you the cancer, you know?
Exactly, yeah. And that's the thing. And I was, as I said, I was so lucky. I went the day I went. So that's the kind of the positivity that I pull from it. But I suppose it's about getting HPV aware. There's no doubt in my mind my children will be vaccinated, and that if it was available to me, I would have certainly been vaccinated at the time. And I wouldn't have wished, you know, the journey I've been on, it's 18 months now, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, because it's been hard and it's been draining. But, you know, you have to try and pull the positives where you can.
And I'd say what you're saying to other women is, don't wait for the nurse to say it now. Make sure you say, "Look, would you fix me up with a smear of some sort or whatever?" Just be proactive on this.
Absolutely. And like, even a lot of my friends and a lot of people that know me have said to me, "I have gotten a smear test because of you." And that alone is great. And it's all about just raising the awareness, getting the test done. And, you know, I'm a testament to it's a small, quick test that can save your life. And there's absolutely no reason why women shouldn't be getting this test done regularly.
Yeah, and often, you know, women get, and it's primarily women up to this, but they get the smear and they might get a call, say, oh, you know, you're shown this, that and the other, and they go back for further investigation, and it can be nothing, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so don't be afraid if you get something, just make sure you keep on top of this health issue. You know?
That's it, yeah, and you do, and you have to keep on top of it, and like you said, a lot of time abnormalities come back and they redo a smear and then it's fine. I was just one of the unlucky ones, but I had no symptoms, so I would have never known it was there. I would have had no idea I had it at the time.
Yeah, Jenna, great to talk to you, and I mean that in so many ways.
Thanks a million.
And you sound very positive and everything, so best of luck to you.
You have to be, you have to be.
Great to talk.
Thanks a million.
All right, Jenna, thanks
Bye.
Very much indeed. Thank you. That's Jenna Doyle there.